Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.
My indication is that the Lightning are going to be one of the teams that are in the mix on the Paterka sweepstakes. So what that looks like, how they pull it off, I don't know what vets would be going back the other way. But if you're Buffalo and you want help now, maybe Tampa's one of those teams that can solve for that need for you.
That is Frank Saravalli on Daily Faceoff. Good morning. It's Jeremy and Joe. Josh Schmidt producing. Owen Parker as well. I almost said Owen Power. It's going to happen. Anyways, Tampa. All right. Let's play the game. We want to trade them to Tampa. That's for Paterka, right? They want Paterka. All right. Look at Tampa's salary. Tampa has got so many expensive players on their roster. Kucherov 9.5, Point 9.5, Gensel 9, Hagel 6.5. I'd love Brandon Hagel. Sorali, 6.25. Bjorkstrand, 5.4. I mean, this is what's tough. Like, it's got to be a hockey trade. I don't want to pick some prospects. And this is probably what Kevin Adams is dealing with right now is, okay, you want my really talented forward? Well, I want a really talented forward in exchange. So what can we do here? That's where I almost wonder. The trades that make the most sense right now would be you swap Paterka for a defenseman, because that's probably an easier trade to make than finding a team that wants to go forward for forward. But then you're going to want a forward, so you trade Byram for a forward. You go Paterka for a defenseman, and you go Byram for a forward. And then you kind of combine the two together and look at it at the end and see how that looks. So who do I pick from Tampa? Eric Cernak, that's not enough. I don't know. It's tough. Maybe Tampa's not good for this. I'm looking around their roster, and their players are either too good or Hagel. They wouldn't do that, though, right? Would Tampa do bring it full circle? The guy that was once drafted by the Sabres and, you know, they let walk for nothing. Thanks, Jason Botterill. Hagel goes to Chicago, becomes a really good player, and then they're not doing that.
How would Hagel feel about that?
Coming back here? He has no trade protection. That's the only reason I'm even inciting his name in this, because I can't find another player that really... I can't really find another player that makes sense for this. If Tampa wants him, can I get Hagel for Paterka? And is Paterka in the 9th overall pick too much for him? Can I do that? 90 points last year. He's older, 26. He's better defensively. He's had Selke votes 3 years in a row. You can't get him, right? I'm only even bringing him up because he can't say no. So there's that. This is the life we live with this hockey team. To talk about a guy in a trade, you have to look and see, can they say no to you?
That's a tough spot to be.
It's brutal.
It sucks. I get so frustrated because I get so excited because I love this team so much despite all of its pain. And every time I'm thinking about an idea, I get all excited and I'm like, it's just not.
Right.
Nothing feels realistic. And that sucks as a fan of the team because you want to think that your team can do something cool and exciting, and I think they can.
Yeah.
But it's just been so many years of this sort of pain where you're almost just ready for nothing to work out, and it's so tough.
What you really need is them to have their Mario Williams moment.
Right.
The Mario Williams moment is the Bills are in the drought and they are a joke. They are not. They're hardly an NFL franchise, right? They can't get coaches. to come there. They have to hire Chan Gailey, who hadn't even been a coordinator the year before. And, oh, what? They signed the number one free agent in free agency. Now, credit to Ralph Wilson. Ralph Wilson was ready to pay him more money than any defensive player ever.
Right.
To get him to come here. And I don't know if the Sabres would do that for a player with Terry Pegula right now. Maybe they would. But that's what I'm waiting for. I'm like, can you just shock us once and bring in... They did kind of do it with Taylor Hall. They shocked me then, but it just, you know, it just didn't work.
It just didn't work. Yeah, it doesn't hold the same weight when it goes so poorly.
Anyways, I got some good answers from people on Twitter of when they checked out or what it would take for them to check out on this team, but we got to call on this first. Let's go to Dave in Buffalo. Josh, if you could pull him up for me. Dave in Buffalo. What's up, Dave?
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I think you've raised an interesting point, but to me I think what Kevin Adams needs to do is not trade for a great performer, not trade for some guy who's, you know, a minor Tage Thompson or whatever. What he needs to trade for is someone who can lead. That is one thing I think that the Sabres are really missing. Brandon Bean has done a good job with the Bills because he's really been able to embody leadership working with McDermott. So everybody eats, you know, is a short form mantra. And that really defined the team and how they performed and helped make Josh the MVP because he put the ball up and he threw it around and did certain things. If the Bills can, or if the Sabres can really trade for someone who comes to this team and says that the important thing here is accountability, not just accountability to myself, but we need to be accountable to each other. So the thing that will define whether I'm a success here or not is not how I perform, but whether the team performs around me. Is going to be the thing that the Sabres really need. So what I'm looking for is a good storyteller, someone who can really lead this team, and that I think will make the difference.
All right. Thanks, Dave, for the call. That's the one thing, though, that I do kind of feel like they've tried. You know, like, think of the things that they've done that have failed during this playoff drought. And one of them is not what Dave's mentioning here about leadership, is what we were just talking about the big ticket free agent. I mean, they tried that. They signed Taylor Hall. It was only a one-year deal, and it was horrible. Didn't come close to working. Scored two goals. Really, you could point to Okposo a little bit for that, too, because he was the number one free agent after Stamkos signed, and that didn't work. So they've done that, and it hasn't worked. I do feel like they've tried what Dave's talking about. They have brought in veteran leaders, storytellers, guys that can show the young guys the way. The problem has always been that those players weren't good enough to kind of earn that respect, if you will. I'm thinking of Brian Gionta a little bit for this, who was just at the end of his career, and he was still a player, like he was worthy of being on an NHL roster, but the leader of your team, I still would like that to see that be a guy that's at the top of their roster, top of their lineup guy. And I don't know. What are they going to do? Do you want them to go bring Jonathan Toews out of retirement? Because he's coming back. You want him to go sign Patrick Kane? You want to fire that conversation back up for the 9,000th time? Because he's about to be a free agent. Just I wouldn't do it just for the sake of doing it. Guy's going to go play 9 minutes on my fourth line. So I'm not saying you're wrong in that they couldn't use some help on that front, but I guess I have faith in Rasmus Dahlin in that department. I have faith in Rasmus Dahlin in that department. I'd like to see it kind of result in more for the teammates, but Dahlin, I think, talks the talk, and he walks the walk himself, but, you know, what is true leadership? True leadership is not just getting yourself to do the right things. It's getting everybody around you to do the right things, too. And, hey, that might be tough. That might be tough for anybody. Nobody would say that Kyle Okposo wasn't a great leader, but did anybody feel like they were doing the right things around him? There was some immaturity with both of the cores, if you want. The Eichel-Reinhardt core before that Okposo was like the leader in the locker room of, and then this most recent one. And I'm talking about, like, you know, habits and on the ice stuff, let alone, you know, revolting against the fans because they booed you when you were probably down 5-0 to the Blue Jackets. Because that happened when he was the leader of the locker room too. So, you know, it's nice to hear, or it's a nice idea, but I don't know how in practice it actually makes a big enough impact that we're talking about the culture changing here. The culture changing is going to have to be the playoffs, and it's going to have to be winning. But what's going to happen first? They're going to get smart, and they're going to make a couple of savvy moves, or they're just going to get lucky and get in and ride that wave. Because one of those two things has to happen here. Now, some of the answers we've had on when you checked out, there's a couple of popular answers from what I'm seeing. Thank you to everybody that's participating, by the way, at Sneaky Joe Sports. You could tweet in your answer to this or call in 803-0550. You prefer that. During the losing streak with Ralph Krueger or during the losing streak last year, makes total sense. Long, lengthy losing streaks. You had an 18-game losing streak. Unbelievable, right? 18-game losing streak 5 years ago, and then a 13-game losing streak last year. Easy spot to check out. Like, I just can't do this anymore. Last year against Montreal, when Terry Pegula flies to Montreal to tell them that he believes the answer is in this room, and then they go out and they get smoked by Montreal. That was a tough 24 hours.
My friend was at that game as a Sabres fan in Montreal. Yeah, he said he left by the second
traveled
period.
There? Like, he doesn't live there?
Yeah, yeah. He wanted, jeez, he like had it marked. He wanted to go to Montreal, and he also planned it around a Sabres game.
Yep.
And he left by like halfway through the second period.
How bad does it have to be if you travel to a Sabre or to a game for your team, whoever it is, and you don't stay to the end? It's got to be a bad, bad night.
That happened to me in Nashville when I went a couple years ago. It was Bowen Byram's first game. They were down 4-1, and me and my buddies were like, all right,
yep,
let's go.
Couple people have said they checked out after the Eichel trade, that like they're going through a long rebuild here, and I'm not here for it. That's an answer. When Eichel won the cup is an answer that somebody tweeted in. I wonder what the most popular... A lot of this is Krueger. During Krueger is... You know, that's the one that I kind of empathize with the most, because that was torture to watch him try to coach that hockey team. Torture. When they traded O'Reilly away... I mean, this is the thing. It's so many years of this that you could... Everyone's going to have a different moment that it's going to happen. And that's where I'm really am worried about the idea of Tuck leaving. Because if Alex Tuck doesn't re-sign with them and doesn't believe in this thing, then one, I'm going to want to know why. If it's not just that you've been losing, why don't you think they're going to turn it around? Does it have something to do with Adams being the GM? Does he want the team to get serious? Because my worry isn't just that Tuck would leave. My worry about Tuck leaving is who follows in his wake. What are Tage Thompson? It's mostly about Tage and Dahlin. That's really what it is. I feel like I'm holding my breath every day with this hockey team, just praying you get through the day without seeing something that says, oh, Dahlin and Tage, this could be it. When Dahlin, the Bissonnette story came out last year where Paul Bissonnette said that Dahlin met with the team and said that if we don't get this turnaround now, I'm going to want out. Something along those lines, Bissonnette said. I feel like I'd been holding my breath and I went, all right, here we go. Here we go again. And then, you know, luckily that seemed to have been vastly exaggerated. Friedman said that it came from him, whatever. So you got through that. And right now we sit where Dahlin and Tage Thompson sound committed as they can be, and they're under contract for a long time, but I feel like I'm holding my breath. I think this is a big year. I know they all kind of look the same. All these seasons kind of feel the same. during the playoff drought. But I think to avoid another one of these, you know, light the whole thing on fire phases, you gotta have a season here. You can't be 75 points out of the playoffs by January. I think this has to be a year. I don't even know if they have to make it, but it's not. It's about the fans and it's about the players in that room, because the players in that room are feeling what the fans do. That's why I never criticized Ryan O'Reilly for saying what he did. The bunch of fans that have tweeted back at me that, yeah, I checked out when right around that time. Well, okay, like, you got a guy on the team that was feeling that way. He didn't check out on the ice, but mentally he certainly had gone through it losing that much. I'll empathize with that because we're going through the same thing. So if Alex Tuch is fed up with it and he's got the power to get out of it, I understand it. But that's where, you know, what do I have to do to convince these guys that, hey, we're close, keep going. This thing doesn't need to get torn apart again. We don't need to do that. We need to add to it. Nobody needs to tear it apart again. So you don't need to go. We're going to add around you. You don't need to go. For that to stay together, do they just have to be close? I think that might be all it takes. Just a confirmation that, hey, we're almost there. Do this a little different. That's because if you're at 72, 75 points, you can't make that argument. You sound silly trying to make that argument. 803-0550 is the phone number. One tweet that just came in is, way back when they let Drury and Briere walk in the same offseason is when they checked out. Anyways, Florida tonight, they're looking to win the Stanley Cup for the second year in a row. When are we allowed to call them a dynasty if they win? Are we allowed to call them? Is there any way we're hypothetical we're allowed to call them a dynasty after this season?
I think I have a hot take on this. I think they are. I think it's so hard.
Are you saying, though, assuming they win? Or you're saying already?
I'm going to go with... It doesn't matter if they win.
Wow.
I think that making three straight Stanley Cup finals, winning one, going up against McDavid, and then going through the teams they went through in Tampa, who were the last dynasty we saw, right?
Yeah.
I would argue that this is a dynasty. This team, the way that they're put together, the reputation that they hold in the league, like the way other teams and markets talk about them, I think has a place to hold here. And the way that they just continue to dominate everybody they play, I think that this team should be considered that. That's how I feel about it.
I do think it is a hot take, just in that I think you can't just win one.
I know.
To be considered a dynasty. Like, I know what you're saying, because, you know, like, what was the name of the Bills 30 for 30? Almost a dynasty?
Right.
I feel like that's kind of how I would feel about Florida a little bit. Versus zero, I get it.
If the Bills had won one of those.
If they had won one and gone to the other three,
right.
I don't think you could have called it a dynasty.
That's tough. I think
I wouldn't have personally.
I think now, especially in the league that is as watered down as it is due to expansion, and with how many teams there are due to expansion, I think being able to dominate and consistently get to where that team has gotten to over these last 3 years is worthy of that label.
So you certainly would call them that then if they win tonight?
100%.
2 out of 3, and you went to the other final.
Right.
That's a dynasty.
I would say yes.
Because that is, you could say it's better, right? The Blackhawks didn't go to 3 in a row, right? They won 3 out of 5.
Right.
I think it is.
I think that's
And they
correct.
Won all 3 that they went to. I don't think they lost one that they went to. Right, because the tough part is you're not going to get... What did the Oilers do in the 80s? Like 4 in a row, 5 in a row.
We're
the Islanders won 4 in a row. Like, Yeah. Probably not. I mean, I guess Florida could really test that next year.
Right.
If they were to win.
If Florida goes back and I think they're due for a step back after this season, mm-hmm. I would imagine, just due to, like, they're going to lose one of or both of Ekblad and Bennett, and it's just, you can't be this good for this long,
mm-hmm.
especially being older like they are. Bobrovsky's going to hit a wall at some point. I don't think that they're going to be this good for too much longer than this. I could see him being good again next year, but past that, I don't.
It's a good question. How long will they be this good?
That's the...
Because they're about perfect. Really, the goalie's a question, too. Bobrovsky's 37.
Yeah. He's to me, the...
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
First thing you'll see with that roster that'll kind of disappear, and I think that's when they'll kind of miss Levi.
Yep.
From trading him over here.
I mean, they're certainly going all in. They probably got like a 2-3 year window, I think. Yeah. I would expect them to. I would expect them to win another cup. I think they will finish
after
this series. I think they'll finish this series, and I think they will win another cup. Ooh. I think they'll get to three. And then you are absolutely a dynasty by, I think, everyone's definition. Because I think most people, you at one, like you, but you said it. You said it's a hot take. I think most people would say three. Some would say two. But that's usually the debate. That's usually the line where we have the debate.
Yeah.
You want to pull it down to one.
Yeah, I think the appearances and the fashion in which they got there, I think,
mm-hmm.
matters too. I think they've beaten some incredible teams along the way.
Mm-hmm.
They beat that Boston team the first year.
Rick just tweeted in, so the Bandits have gone to 5 straight championships. If they didn't three-peat this year, they would not have been called a dynasty. Now they are, though. And you're like, by Owen, but Owen,
see, just,
Owen would have called them a dynasty before they won this year.
100% I would have.
Yeah. Okay.
If you're in the finals for a half decade.
Yeah.
Straight.
That's a
dynasty.
Does it have to go longer than 3 years? Like, do you have to see them, you know, because if you, well, no, a three-peat would be called a dynasty, so I guess that doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Like, because anything you do within 3 years, no, if you win three in a row, then that would have been qualified as that. So I guess I want to see them do it one more time. I want to see them make it one more time. How about that?
I'd like that.
If they win two, but they go to four in a row, I'm in. I'll call it a dynasty. I'm going to be on the fence, though, after tonight. It is definitely one of the greatest teams, though, I've ever seen in my life. The one was well built.
I might
play the best.
Like, sort of combining those two things in my brain a little bit. Like, best team, like, just individual team combined with sort of their legacy because they've been so good. So that might be influencing me a little bit. Obviously, recency bias is a thing. But I just think that the way that they've done things these past 3-4 years.
Yeah.
Pretty significant.
I think it's over the last 2 or the last 3 years. It's the last 3 postseasons.
Right.
That the Panthers are 26-11 on the road. On the road.
That's nuts.
They're 26-11. They're an all-time team. We'll have the dynasty debate maybe after they win tonight. 803-0550 is the phone number. Who is now saying Josh Allen's better than Patrick Mahomes? Yesterday it was Sam Monson. Today we have another analyst that's willing to step out and say that, Mahomes isn't the best. That when we come back here on WGR.
I know Mahomes and the capabilities he has and how special he is. And yes, he wins, and he's arguably the clutchest quarterback I've ever seen. But also, because of his team, he's afforded to play a certain style sometimes that I would tell you Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson, and Josh Allen can't, right? He can throw a ball away on third down or first down, just go, I don't like it. I'm just going to put it here and we'll be in 2nd and 10. My defense is really good. He'll keep us in the game. And because of that, that's not necessarily led itself to perfect quarterback play. Now, they win the game, and he knows how to play to win the game, and that's where this exercise is so hard. But I think if you broke it down game by game and you watched film with me, you'd go, yeah, I think, Chris, you're right. Burrow, Allen, and Lamar Jackson had a better year than Patrick Mahomes in the way he played last year.
Chris Sims on NBC Sports, he is ranking quarterbacks. He does that every year. And he does not have Patrick Mahomes number one. Good morning, it's Jeremy and Joe. Jeremy will jump on at 8. Not only does he not have Mahomes number one, he has Mahomes number 4. Below Burrow, Josh Allen, and Lamar Jackson. Sorry, Bills fans, he does have Lamar Jackson number one over Josh Allen, but he kind of had them, he have them kind of on their own tier right now, which many would have from last season, but he had Mahomes at number 4. I think this is what a lot of football debate's going to be in the next month. July is usually, you know, nothing's really happening. I guess this year we have some of the star edge rushers that are worth tracking. Trey Hendrickson, TJ Watt, maybe Micah Parsons a little bit too. He's not holding out or anything, but he needs a new contract in Dallas. But there's nothing really happening with those guys at the moment. Nobody's on the field doing anything until training camp. So we got a month. And in the last couple of days, you know, here's another one. Yesterday was Sam Monson. Today it's Chris Sims, who are willing to go, all right, you know, look, if we're ranking these quarterbacks, I'm not putting Mahomes number one. And that's a couple of guys that watch the film and evaluate it that are like, yeah, no, Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson played better football last year. And Sims is going as far as to say that Burrow did too. The question I have about Mahomes, and you could extend this to Josh Allen too, because of the way the Bills played offense last year, a little more running the ball, and the defense in Buffalo has always been very good with Allen. And in the last couple of years, that's also been true of Mahomes. Are we ever going to see these two put up the video game numbers that they have in the past? Or is there just not a need for it anymore? So who cares? And that's not even meant as a criticism to say, especially about Allen, the way the Bills are playing. Because Mahomes, it's more than just the totals. It was the efficiency last year, too. Patrick Mahomes last year had a lower yards per attempt than Anthony Richardson did. So it wasn't just how much you threw for. It was how efficient were you? And there were some questions on that. But, like, 2 years ago, 2022, so 3 years ago, Patrick Mahomes threw for 5,200 yards and 41 touchdowns. In his first full season, he threw for 5,000 yards and 50 touchdowns. Josh Allen, in his 2020 season, threw for 4,500 yards and 37 touchdowns. And the next year, 4,400 yards and 36 touchdowns. Last year, for Josh, 3,728 touchdowns. Mahomes, last year, 3,800 yards, 3,900 yards, and 26 touchdowns. Still good. Still really good. And again, for Allen, even better because he was super efficient with it, didn't turn the ball over as much, and has the running on top of it. But you're not seeing video game passer numbers. And I do wonder if that's ever going to return for them. Look what it took for Joe Burrow to get there. It took him having the worst defense in football and playing catch-up week after week after week. And I don't know, the Bills have to have the best defense this year, but I would be surprised if they ever had the worst defense in the league. I did make a bet with Jeremy they'll have a bottom 10 defense at some point in McDermott's career, but like the Bengals were the worst. I would never make the bet the Bills would be the worst defense in the league. And that's how Joe Burrow gets to 4,900 yards and 43 touchdowns. So maybe this is more of a commentary about the league, because the league ran the ball more last year. And there's a couple ways to think about that. One is, well, look at Allen and Mahomes. You don't need your quarterback to put up video game numbers to be an elite offense. Even though the Chiefs weren't an elite offense. The Bills are the better example of it. You don't need it. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about 5,000 yards. Don't worry about 50 touchdowns. You don't need it. But I do think there is still a value in being able to throw the ball like that. And no one's really doing it. Burrow's doing it, but Burrow's doing it. How much of it is against soft coverage because they're down? You know, some of it. I wonder who's the team that's going to figure out better than anybody. We ran the ball for a couple of years because that's what defenses were dictating, because defenses had figured it out. Took them a couple of years, but they found their way to neutralize these downfield pass attacks by these alien quarterbacks. They found the best way to do that, and it was basically to dare you to run the football, almost gifting the run game to the other team. So the Bills have said, yeah, we'll run it down your throats, and we'll do it successfully. And the Chiefs tried to do that. The Ravens built the best rushing attack we've seen maybe in NFL history last year, statistically at least, with Henry and Jackson. Like, okay, we'll run it on you. But I wonder who that first team is going to be that goes, or that really figures it out again. That, oh, no, we know how to throw the ball down the field on this. See, it took you a couple years.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Defenses to figure out how to stop us with these big plays, these explosive plays. It took us a couple of years, but we're gonna have our chess move right back at you. And I don't know that anyone's really truly done that yet without implementing the okay, well, we're gonna run. Like a lot of run heavy teams last year were the top offenses. And for the Bills specifically, I wonder their part in that. If they have a desire for it, if they don't care about it, like we're gonna just keep going with whatever works at the moment. And right now, defenses want to challenge us to run the ball or dare us to run it and not throw the ball down the field as much. So, okay, we've got James Cook. We've got Ray Davis. We've got a great offensive line. Allen runs the ball. We'll run the ball 50% of the time. We'll be middle of the pack in pass rate, because we think we are going to be able to have success running the ball on you. And that's what they did last year. And I would be stunned if that's not what they did this year. But I do wonder if the league will ever invite these teams, or these coaches, will figure out ways to go back to what the Bills had like under Brian Daboll, which was they were passing the ball, you know, 12% more of the time, something like that, than what they are doing right now. And it was more down the field, and there was, you know, slinging the ball around. And again, Josh had 800, 900 more yards in some of those seasons than he did last year. But for now, I don't know that there's really a need for it. 803-0550, the phone number. All that, by the way, because, you know, Mahomes and his numbers have gone down. But again, the difference I want to point out, why even Sims, I'm sure, is putting Josh Allen number 2 and Patrick Mahomes number 4, is Mahomes just isn't giving you the crazy efficiency. He's clutch, and he's making big plays in the big moments, and that is what is keeping him in everybody's, you know, it's what's keeping him living rent-free in everybody's heads. But over the course of these whole games, it just doesn't really look the same. Time out here. Jeremy coming up at 8. Got Joe Yurden coming up at 9 o'clock. If you would like to call in about what was the moment you checked out on the Sabres, if you have, feel free. We're talking about that a little bit earlier today with the J.J. Paterka report from the weekend and my worry and others' worries that maybe Alex Tuck isn't going to sign an extension. A lot to get to coming up here on Jeremy and Joe here on WGR. A good song for the temperature today. I don't even know about outside, just in these rooms. Finally started cooling off in here. It's the early morning. Something about this room, I just don't know if it doesn't turn on or what, but it is like 80 degrees. And Owen's in a...
I think my room's so small that I come in here in the morning and yeah. I heat it up. I think I am the heater in this room or something. Well, I mean, it's hot in here when I get in here.
Listen to the ego on this guy.
But then I am sitting here and it gets hotter as the day goes.
I'm yeah.
Like, oh, it's tough in here right now.
Also, my allergies are going to pick up just looking outside right now at all the pollen and whatever being just floating through the air.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so I'm not complaining. I'm not complaining. We went through the worst May like on record. So... not complaining.
Yeah, I'm going to sweat so much playing golf today. It's going to be awesome.
I have a car wash question.
Ooh.
So I go to the car wash yesterday, and there's a car in front of me. And you know how they've the three different gates, right? So there's three different gates. So he's in front of me, and he goes through the middle gate. I go through the far right gate. He goes through the gate first. Right? Only lifts one at a time. So he goes through. And then maybe your car wash has this. Maybe you know the exact one I'm talking about. There's like a little shed area, garage area. Like you drive through it where it's like a pre-rinse kind of like facility mm-hmm. before you get to the actual car wash. And there's two doors there. So he goes to the left one because he was in the middle. And I go to the right one because I was in the right. Then when you exit those two, the line converges on itself, but there is a very rigid, unwritten societal rule, I believe, is that you go every other.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, man.
So, but then I am faced with, I'm right next to this guy, and I'm now, I guess it's my turn to go in front of you, even though I know you were here first. So what's the right thing to do there?
You cannot disrupt the order of things.
Okay, you have to stay with the every other.
Yeah. If it's your turn to go in every other and you got in line after right. that guy, then that's just
yeah.
It's not even a matter of like being nice because like I know you were here first. No. I'll let you go because once you do that, then it could yeah. be chaos.
No, right? Then what if the person behind him follows him and then you're stuck and then.
Right. You're saying I would be throwing the whole concept into the air and
creating chaos that we do not need at our car washes.
Okay, so the every other supersedes
who got there
first.
I think the line you choose, if you choose wrong on the line that you go into,
right.
then that's on you.
This is similar to a very well-liked chicken establishment. When you order at that place, and then you have to go every other. Sometimes people are ordering more okay. than you, and it's going to take longer to order, but I'm done. I got to go.
Oh, that's a pet peeve of mine. Maybe the person who, like, it depends on the place. If it's like a fast food restaurant, maybe this is different, like you're talking about. But if you are going to a coffee establishment, and you're going through the drive-thru, because... maybe this is just me being late sometimes to things and like I'm in a rush and like I'm just trying to get a quick cup of coffee and that's it. The person in front of me, when you pull up to that screen and you see the total is like they've ordered like 9 things. It's like just
go inside.
Should there not be a rule at a place like that? Like, hey, like a grocery store, three items or less.
Express checkout.
Yes.
Yeah.
This is a 3 items
Thank
or less
you.
Line.
Wow, we got a Larry David segment going here. This is awesome.
This really is. This is Ben Curb Your Enthusiasm.
I totally agree. I think that people that order like 17 drinks at the drive-thru are like a full, you know.
We're ordering dinner for later. Oh, we're going to put it in the fridge. Just
please take a hike.
I'm just trying to get a medium cup because I got to get somewhere.
Yeah.
The drive-thru was meant for fast food. If you want to order a bunch, go inside.
That I agree with that.
Totally agree.
I agree. All right, good.
Start the petition.
I feel more comfortable with both of these things after this, after talking it out. 803-0550 is the phone number. We took one call earlier if you want to get in on this Sabres topic that we were tossing around earlier. There's a Darren Dreger tweet about Don Granato that I think is really funny. We can get to that a little bit later on as well. But on the Sabres offseason, and if you've checked out or if you are excited for the offseason because they're trying to do big things, but now we've got Paterka stuff and maybe Tuck will want to go too. There's a lot of emotions that are being jumbled here. Unless you, again, are one of these people that you checked out, and when did you check out? I think it's pretty interesting to get into. So let us know what you think. We got open phone lines at 803-0550. Joe Yurden's coming up at 9 o'clock. So stay tuned here on WGR.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.